when I started this business, that had to be a shift and a big mindset adjustment for me, that this business has to be quality. My name's on the door. Buck stops here. My family's in strife if it goes wrong. So for me, it's all about quality. And if we don't get every listing, there's a reason why. And we don't need every listing to have a really profitable business.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry, sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. We bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links, and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. Now, here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. Today, my guest is Tamika Smith, who is the principal and founder of Key2 Property. She's won countless awards, including the REIA Residential Property Manager of the Year for 2019. This year, Key2 Property is a finalist for Residential PM Team of the Year, and you've dropped in today because you've been speaking a lot at events around the country. So, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sammy, for having me.
It's actually really good to have you here. Like, I think this is the first time we've ever seen you in our North Sydney office, but you have been around the country. Like, I've seen you on Facebook and you're speaking at all these events and things like that. So talk to me about how the speaking experience has been for you.
Slightly out of my comfort zone, actually being on the stage opposed to being in the crowd, where I really like it, where I can learn and absorb. But the further I get through my career, I suppose, the more importance I'm placing on actually giving back to our industry, that if you've got something that you can give to somebody else, why not share it? You know, I've worked in this industry for a long time and it's always been about take, take, take and not giving, and sort of had to do a 360 on my mindset and actually give back to this community. It's so important. And if we can all be doing that, that's fantastic. So it's been a bit of fun being on the stage. I haven't fallen on or off yet, so I feel like I'm winning.
Yeah. We're definitely winning because, I mean, I saw you speak at PMLR last year, where we were both hanging out together for a couple of days. And I do want to talk about some of your takeaways from that event. But first of all, I've got to ask you about Street MBA, because part of your, can I say, international tour,
yes,
was hanging out with the guys at Street MBA in New Zealand. So how was that?
It was fabulous, actually. As a business owner and someone that works actively in my business, going on these study tours, I cannot place enough value on it for business owners, department managers, you know, the A-game players that we've been talking about. It gives you a really exclusive look behind the scenes. You get past all that shiny shit that you see from the street, and you actually get to dig into what's making them successful, what's working, what's not working, and you see it in real time, and it's a really good, honest, open discussion. So NZ, I was so blown away by the quality of offices that we visited, what we can learn from them, and also I feel like they got as much from us as what we got from them. So, you know, these study tours, amazing. If you are not on one yet, get on one.
Yeah, we've got a couple. I think there's a couple coming up that are actually sold out. And then there's also, we're going to announce season two very shortly, which is going to include some sales tours. But I'm keen to know, with New Zealand, what do you think they do better than us? Like, what were some of the big takeaways for you?
Some of the big takeaways were their culture. New Zealand places a massive value on culture, which is so important to me. You know, that's the backbone of our business, is having a great culture. So I was really in awe about particularly what Wendells do for their staff. You know, they help them buy their first home.
Yeah, wow.
Amazing. So the culture that they build within their businesses is phenomenal. And their tech, they're doing some pretty cool stuff, in particular the lead up to the America's Cup. They've got the market covered. So, you know, those offices we went to, they're big players there and they're ones to watch out for.
Absolutely. Well, Wendell's, I think Natalie's been over here and she's spoken at ARPM and things like that, and she's really known for doing innovative stuff. So I can't wait to see what the girls' takeaways were. Like, we always get Hannah to do a bit of a write-up. So
yeah.
You were a host office too. So what was it like having our people come through Launceston?
Yeah, it was fantastic being a host office. Obviously, we were a little nervous and our office got the best clean of its life, which I'm sure everyone else did. But, you know, it was fantastic. Again, it's that giving back mentality of having people in your office, and you actually can't hide anything when you're in the office. So now that I've experienced participating in speaking and being someone watching, you know, you get on stage, you can say whatever you want, but you don't actually have to back it up, whereas when you have 12 people coming into your office, there's actually no hiding. Joe McCurry actually said to me, he saw me speak at PMLR in Bendigo last year and then come on Street MBA to our office because he actually wanted to see if what I was saying was true or a load of rubbish. And his feedback to me was it was actually even better in person. So that was, you know, a massive credit to our business. But I felt the same when I went to these offices, that they're actually even better in person because you actually get the real content.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic. So let's talk a bit about your business. So your business is still quite young in terms of, you know, you're going out on your own and starting your own business. So give us a bit of background. So for people that don't know you, how long have you been in property management and when did you decide to go out on your own?
Absolutely. So I've been in property management now over 15 years, so coming up to about 17 years. Started, you know, traditionally as the admin assistant, moved through the ranks at an independent, had a baby, then went to a franchise group, loved it. You know, was with LJ Hooker for a good solid 8 to 10 years and loved everything about it. Then got asked by a mate of mine to help him with his upstart business as head of department of property manager. So I spent a year or so doing that and realised at that probably point in my career that I actually didn't want to work for anyone anymore. And I really didn't want to work for a sales director anymore. That sales directors are so focused on sales that property management just gets really lost. And so sort of made that decision that it was time to create something of my own and had a relationship with my business partners that they wanted a sales business and I wanted a property management business. So we essentially own two businesses that operate as one, and I oversee the functions of the property management. So being a hands-on property manager as the director to our business is the best thing I could have ever done in my career. And sales is completely removed. So there's no shine taken off property management in our office. Property management is treated exactly the same as sales is.
As it should be.
As it should be, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. What does your business look like at the moment? Like how big is your team and your rent roll and things like that?
Yeah, so at the moment in not quite 4 years, we've signed 575 management. So we've obviously been in growth, a lot of growth. With that obviously comes its problems with recruiting the right people. We don't recruit for skill. We recruit for culture. I can teach you how to be a good property manager, but I can't teach you how to be a good person. So it's all about recruiting for culture. But that also comes with the problems because there's no skill set. So there's a lot of ongoing training that happens. We're now in a really stable position in our business that we have a senior property management team that look after portfolio-based portfolios. We have an office manager, administration manager, who is a licensed property manager as well. So she's our quality controller, that nothing heads out of our office without being perfect. And then we've got a support admin team. And I still do the BDing. I'm a real quality over control freak. I don't want any business coming into our property, into our department that's not quality. And we're so selective on where we work and who we work with that I'm still doing that BDing. And I don't know that I'll ever probably stop doing it. And it keeps my finger on the pulse. It keeps me really active in the industry and in the team. So I'm still so part of the day-to-day running of the business.
Yeah, and I guess it gives you a first-hand view of what people really want out of their property management service.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't ever want to be that disjointed director that feels like it's all going beautifully but isn't actually there with the finger on the pulse.
Yeah. So you just said you recruit for culture. So what are some of the questions that you ask people in a job interview to make sure that there is a culture match between the person that you're bringing in and the people already there in your team?
Well, I actually don't ask any of the initial questions. The first phase of screening in our office is our office manager actually screening the applications and shortlisting them. Then the first interview is actually with the team. It is so important for me that our team actually like who they want to work with. So no good me going picking someone that I like and making everyone unhappy. So our team go through and do all the initial pre-screening once they've shortlisted a couple, then I go in and do the final screening, and that's where I start to look at their skill set. You know, how do they like working in a team? Are they going to fit with our culture? You know, of me constantly nagging, for lack of better words, to making sure that we're keeping the culture perfect, and ongoing training is a big thing. I want to know that they want to learn.
Yeah.
Really want to learn.
I was going to say, how if someone comes in without knowing anything or without having a real estate background, how long does it take you to get them from day one to, let's say, a couple of months down the track with maybe training wheels sort of off a little bit? Maybe. Yeah. I'm saying off a little bit because you just said control freak like twice, so I'm just making sure.
Yeah, so we have a bit of a 12-month no-touch rule. So you're not allowed to touch any of the clients until you've done 12 months, okay? Some might be slightly quicker and some might take a little bit longer, but I want to know you are completely comfortable. Mm. Not that I'm comfortable that you can do it, but that you are actually comfortable that you can do what we need you to do with the expectations that we've got. And that's why our client retention is so good and our referral network is at 79%, because we are so particular about making sure that once you start talking to our clients and customers, you're really highly skilled, you're really highly trained. And it's a whole series of training. First thing is you've got to get your license. You've got to be an agent. And then you are buddied up with a senior and you just shadow them. Mouth shut, shadow, copy, shadow, copy, shadow, copy. So there is a lot of that, a lot of time spent with me. I mystery shop our staff a lot, have, you know, friends and family go to inspections, phone the office, look at bringing on new business for that quality control, that we're making sure that we are doing everything exactly the same.
Yeah, amazing. And I guess, like, I remember at PMLR you did say that you charge over what the market rate is in Launceston. Did I say that right, by the way, Launceston?
Launceston,
yeah, because some people say Launceston. Yeah. How competitive is it in your market, and what is it that allows you to charge over the odds?
Absolutely. So our marketplace is pretty competitive. There's some really great agents that are starting to develop their career, and that's pretty exciting to see from a competitor point of view that there is some competition. Generally speaking, you know, with a 79% referral rate, I don't really make a lot of calls anymore. A lot of the business is actually just coming to us. So that's an easy sell. You know, we're not even talking fees, but we're charging a 10.5% management fee in our marketplace with an average rent of $450 a week.
Some people in Sydney just gasped.
Fell off their chair. Yeah. I saw it this week.
Yep.
Average management fee in Launceston is around that 8.8 to 9.2%. So we're fairly well above the standard.
Yeah.
Our rents also average about 18% higher as well than our marketplace. So, you know, it's because we're doing things differently. We're demanding a premium property, a premium level of tenant, and you're getting a premium level of service. But we're completely non-negotiable on fees. It doesn't matter if you've got one or 50 properties, it's the same. You're getting the same service, so you're going to be paying for it.
So what does the dialogue go like with a landlord who says, okay, look, I really want to go with you guys, but I can get 9% down the road? How do you get over that objection?
Whenever we get that objection, it's just really breaking it down into actual physical money. So you're prepared to risk your $500,000 asset over a cup of coffee a week.
Yeah.
And if you're prepared to do that, go down the road, because we don't need the business. We're in a position that we don't. And we want to work with like-minded people. We want to work with people that want to protect their asset, that want their asset to grow. And in 10 or 20 years, when you're wanting to cash out, we've preserved that and looked after it and helped it grow. If you want to drop a coffee a week and go with whoever down the road, and in 10 years' time, your asset's not worth as much, then go for it. It's just not a risk that we're, as an agency, prepared to take. So
you're very clear on the types of landlords that you want to work with. And overall, I guess that would keep the profit margins higher in your business as well, allow you to train better people. Like, it sort of feels a bit like Jim Collins's flywheel in a way. Like, if you keep your fees a bit higher, you can offer a better service, you can have better people, et cetera, et cetera.
It's exactly that mentality. My career in property management has been raced to the bottom. Mm. We just want every listing, you know. It's a real quantity. It's a numbers game. Whereas when I started this business, that had to be a shift and a big mindset adjustment for me, that this business has to be quality. My name's on the door. Buck stops here. My family's in strife if it goes wrong. So for me, it's all about quality. And if we don't get every listing, there's a reason why. And we don't need every listing to have a really profitable business.
Yeah, that's a really good point and probably something that people are jotting down at the moment as well. I'm sure you've been in a lot of listing presentations where there've been some warning bells go off that it might not be a listing that you want to take on. What are some of those things that make you think, oh, maybe this listing isn't right for our business?
I've had that happen a lot. The first warning bell for me is I'll bring up maintenance pretty early in the piece, and our landlords, my expectation is that they have a maintenance budget of somewhere between the vicinity of $1,000 to $4,000 that has to be spent every year. If there's a buck up at that straight away, it's a really honest, you're not going to fit our business because that is our expectation. And if that's not your expectation, we're not going to work. So we're better off to stop it right now. Other things, you know, when people start talking badly about tenants, again, you're not going to fit our business model. So I'm really sorry, I can't help you. And then, you know, obviously pass off other people's details that might be able to help them. But we're really strict on that. Before I go and appraise anything, you know, I'm looking at all the historical data on it. I'm doing a drive-by. I'm finding out all the reasons why they're wanting to rent this and what their expectations are before I get in that door. So essentially the deal for me is closed before I'm there, unless I get there and there's a rude surprise.
That's interesting too, because they say in marketing, well, I think it's something I've said a lot in marketing, is that, you know, if you're marketing to a particular group of people and you know what they want, then it becomes really easy to scale that because it's just more of what you know works.
Absolutely. So true.
Yeah. So speaking of marketing, like, I know you are a bit of a geek.
Yes,
behind that mild-mannered exterior, behind that selling exterior. And I know that you've done some really creative things with technology in your business, even in Launceston. Like, you know, you go to some of the offices in Sydney and, you know, they've got concierge here and robots there and stuff like that. But you've done some really creative things. So talk to me about how you use technology in your business.
Yeah, so I love tech behind the facade of this. And I actually, funnily enough, this week learnt a new saying of squirrel. So when you see something that you like, the look of it, and it's shiny and you want to try it, sometimes you've got to call squirrel on it. And I'm going to take that back to my team, because any piece of tech that we can try and use is, let's try this. And if it works, great. If it doesn't, let's toss it in the bin. That's definitely my mentality. But starting a new business obviously came with its challenges, and you know, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on marketing wasn't really viable. So we had to look at other ways to showcase who we were and where we were different. So, you know, we're the first people in our marketplace to bring in that 360 technology of every property having a 360 tour so you can see it in real time, and really gearing up to what's happening in our marketplace. We're having a new uni built, so we're going to be attracting thousands of Asian students. They love this stuff. They can't come to Tasmania to view houses. So we had to really gear up to be able to service our marketplace and look into the future and see what's coming. So, you know, there's the 360 stuff, professional photos on rental properties, first people to be doing it. Like, come on, people, iPhones are gone. Like,
yeah.
Rentals have to be treated the same as sales. Information videos. So our website is full of videos of me yabbering on, but giving you so much information, the move-in process, insurances, paying bills, how we pay our landlords, what we do with maintenance. So the information is there at the ready. So it stopped the phone calls coming into the office and that email traction, because it's all there, all ready to go. Bringing in different tech, and, you know, I've been in Sydney a couple of days and I'm going to go home with some more tech that maybe we look at trying now. So
yeah,
I think you have to be prepared to change. You have to be willing to try it. And if it works, great. If it doesn't, just throw it in the bin.
Just because you've used something for a while, if it's not working for you, doesn't mean you have to keep it.
That's right. Yep.
And I'm sure people like think with the, you know, the amazing amount of information on your website that people already kind of know you before they meet you.
Absolutely. So probably 10% of our new business comes from potential landlords looking at our website and looking at the content that we actually freely share to all of our competitors as well, of exactly how we do things. It's really open. It's really honest. It's step by step, easy to understand. So the deal's closed before you get in the door, because they know your business. They know who you are. So it's literally, we want to do business with you. Where do we sign?
Yeah, that's really interesting, because you do have things step by step. And I know, you know, like, I've talked to other people in the past, like James Tosterman and people like that, who is happy to train agents on every single thing that he does because most people won't do it. So if I could summarize this, having it all out there, like answering questions about fees and processes and things like that, and being transparent is actually a big win for investors coming your way, as opposed to other people, you know, taking the time to copy you or something like that.
Absolutely. So huge win for potential investors. And a lot of our investors are interstate. So if they can be looking at that information without having to make the timely calls, it's a huge win.
Breath of fresh air.
Absolutely. Yeah. And honestly, 5% of people that look at that stuff will actually do anything with it.
Yep.
So if that 5% want to rip off everything that I do and recreate it, my hat goes off to them, because good on them for having a crack at being better.
Yeah. But then I suppose you've got to have everything in the background, which is, you know, all of your attention to detail and your quality and customer focus and people and all that sort of stuff. So what about social media? Do you think social media works for generating leads in property management?
In our marketplace, yes and no. So I think it really depends on how you utilize it. So we try and use our social a lot about community events, what we're doing to give back. Really, we don't focus on putting every listing on social. I don't love that. And I know it works for some and not for others. You know, doing open homes on social and things like that, I know that's taking off in some agencies. It's not for me, because that actually goes against what I believe in. You know, we're a private inspection office because we're a quality over quantity. So I don't want 5,000 people looking through my rental property on a social platform, because there's no quality control for me there. There are things like sneak peeks and properties of the week, but I don't think we'll ever move into that either, because our niche is we're a quality, and the kind of properties and clientele that we're looking at, they don't appreciate that. They don't want to be looking at that kind of stuff. But social for us is all about our community. We're big in our community. We want to give back. So highlighting local events, charities, what's happening in and around, that's our biggest focus on social.
Are there any forms of marketing that you think don't work now in this era of digital? Like, do you still, what about letterbox drops and things like that? Do they work or?
So in our marketplace, there is room for that still. We're still a relatively old city, so it does work for us. Property management, we don't do any print marketing anymore, but sales we absolutely do, and it works. You know, the girls in sales are generally number one in our marketplace. So it has its purpose in different areas, but it's concentrated also to certain areas. So there is still room for it, but in property management, not so much. For us, it's about having those contacts with the big employment players. So, you know, we've got our foot in the door at all of those big employers in Launceston to be attracting that kind of client we want. So that is where our focus is.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because if I think you said 70-something percent of your business is from your referral network and from repeat and referral business. So if I was just starting as a BD or something like that, what would your top tips be to build a killer referral network?
Yeah, absolutely. So the biggest referral network is obviously your team. You know, our sales team are meeting people all day, every day. So be friends with them.
Yep.
Because you want to be using their database. Your current clients, every single one of my landlords gets a personal call from me every 6 months. And in there it's, have you bought anything else? Can I sell you something else? Who's got something that we don't manage? So, you know, they're always referring. And our tenants are 17% of our referrers in our business, which is huge. Tenants normally hate their property manager. Look at our Google reviews are all from tenants. Amazing. So they're the three core networks you need to be working with. And then getting some social networks that are going to work for you. So for me, it's corporate, because that's our marketplace. You know, the big employers, that's where you want to be if that's your marketplace. If you're happy to be everywhere, then get everywhere. But have some really core groups of people that you want to talk to. And so for me, it's landlords, it's tenants, it's our sales team, it's our tradespeople, and then it's those couple of key employers.
Yeah, and then build really strong relationships with them.
Have bulletproof relationships with those people.
If you're starting Key2 all over again today, what would you do to start building your management pipeline?
Gee, that's a good question, because it seems like so long ago that I did it. I think I would nearly do the same thing. I would absolutely just focus on that quality over quantity, and I wouldn't negotiate on it. And I would stick to my ethical morals, like be a good person, surround yourself by the right kind of people, and start building that pipeline by your networks. You'll have to do obviously a bit of marketing and stuff, but have those relationships in place and nurture them and grow them, and It just comes. I know that sounds relatively arrogant that the phone just rings, but the phone actually just rings.
It's about consistency though, isn't it? It's about continuously doing good things over and over again.
Absolutely. So that is one of my philosophies, you know, commitment, consistency, communication. Without those underlying parts of our business, we would fail. And I 100% believe that because we're so committed to the same message, to delivering it consistently all the time. And we don't move away from that. There's no variation. It is same. For every single person that we deal with. And people now, they appreciate that. They want to know what they're getting and they want it delivered and communicated well. So, yeah. And I believe that we do it.
Yeah, it's comforting. It's comforting to know what's coming, especially when you're dealing with my biggest asset.
That's exactly right.
Everybody talks about disruption in property management, the dreaded D word. And we've already talked about how you keep your fees high. But what do you see in the future of property management? What steps do you think you need to take to future-proof your business from different forms of technology disruption or discounters or things like that?
Yeah, so I think the biggest disruptors are actually ourselves. I think we are our worst enemy, that we get so caught up in the shiny things or they're doing this or we want to be like that, than actually just sticking to what you know, how you do it, and don't move from that. I love new things. I love shiny tech and that, but I'm a big believer of try it, and if it works, use it. If it doesn't, put it in the bin. Don't waste another second on it. And I think until people have that mentality, that will be the disruptor. They will actually be their own disruptor. The people can't come back and do what they're supposed to be doing and delivering that amazing service because they're too busy looking for the next shiny object.
I heard someone say the other day, it was like, you've got to keep one eye on the telescope and one eye on the microscope. You know, and a lot of people have got their eyes on the telescope and then they take their eye off what's in front of them, which is their customers and things like that. So,
yeah, that's exactly right. And we've seen it, you know, email come in. So everyone stopped talking. Then it got back to being email and now it's VAs or the bot or whatever it might be and people aren't talking again. And it always does a full circle and comes back to the absolute basics. So don't stop doing the basics, but of course have the shiny things, but yeah, if they're not working, toss them out.
Yep, absolutely. So what does the next 12 months look like for you?
That's really interesting. So we've been asked and asked and asked so much what we're going to do in the next 12 months. And the honest answer is, who really knows? You know, you just don't know what's going to happen from day to day, but we're really in consolidate mode at the moment. We have a fantastic team that are training really well, that are doing amazing things and that are nearly at capacity of the properties that they can manage. So this year for us is really about consolidating, upskilling our staff, making sure that they're geared up for what 2021 looks like. And again, that's going to be scale. We'll be ready to scale and grow. I don't believe in growing until you're ready, because that's when things start to go wrong. I think for me, you need to be over ready so that when it happens, you're ready to run and there's no bumps. I don't want our clients to experience any bumps with us. So this year, consolidate what we've got, upskill, train, look at bringing in somebody new, making sure that that culture doesn't change, ready for our 2021 goals of growth and some more scale.
Amazing. Are there any resources or anything like that that you would recommend to people, any books or people to follow?
I don't really read a lot of books, but the one book that I read is The Barefoot Investor, which seems really quite corny. But if you don't know how to look after your money, you can't possibly look after somebody else's. So for me, that was really important. And I've been reading that for as long as I can remember. Every year when the new one comes out, you know, I'm reading it. And now there's a family one. But if you can't manage your own money, how on earth are you going to manage someone else's millions of dollars of assets? It's not a possibility. Some amazing people that I follow, local chick, Kirsty Dumphy, millionaire at 21, all in investment and now finance. So I do surround myself with her because she has some amazing ideas about financial wealth and growth. Probably my most favourite thing in the moment in our office is the Elite Agent Extra, actually, plugging your own product. But what I really love about that is when we get it, it's an interactive tool in our office that our team can read it, they can write their own take on it, and we can be talking about it at our quarterly training that we do. So it's an interactive training tool for our staff without them really realising what they're doing, and it's a nice, easy read that we can scribble all over and we can use it, and it's really good implementation tools in real life stuff. So
no one wants to scribble on the magazine, right?
No, no one wants to scribble on the magazine. But yeah, the extra, if that's not coming into your office, get it into your office. And this is not a plug for you, Sam, sorry, but it's a plug for teams that want to be, you know, forward thinking.
I'm really glad it's working for you, and thank you for the plug. And we will leave you a link in the show notes for extra. Tamika, has been so wonderful catching up with you as always. If there was one thing that you would like to leave our listeners with, what would it be?
Oh, look, the one thing, and I rave about it all the time, was a piece of advice I got when I was really young, and from my dad actually, was be the best you can be. And don't forget that you're not actually in competition with anybody but yourself.
Amazing advice, Tamika Smith. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate from Elite Agent. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts, visit eliteagentelevate.com.